You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, everybody? This is Raised in the Woods. My name's Joel Clayfish. I get to man this ship right into the outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota, and what am I forgetting?
I don't know. I thought you were going to say shipwreck.
Iowa.
So I'm stuck on that right now.
Sometimes it is a shipwreck, but who doesn't like to watch a shipwreck? That's not the saying, is it, though?
I'm not sure.
Hey, welcome. We're glad to have you here. This show is about everything in the great outdoors of the great Midwest, how to enjoy it, what to do while you're out there. Get your rear end off the couch and get outdoors. Take what you have outside and put it on your dinner table. And that is why this show is so fortunate to have an acclaimed French culinarian as the co-host of the show, Chef Ellie Lawton. Chef Lawton, we couldn't do it without you.
Bonjour.
Wow, you've been studying your French.
Yeah, I got one word.
Well, that's better than none.
Yeah.
I mean, that bon appetit.
Yeah. I usually say bone apple teeth.
Well, I like that better. That's funny. Kind of when you hunt for your own food, I think that's probably something you could say, bone apple teeth.
Yes.
Megan Salazar, Megan the Salad Czar Salazar is here with us.
Hey, he wrecked my ship, so I'm not a pirate anymore.
Yeah. What do we usually? Oh, yeah.
She only has 15 stage names.
Well, she is a sommelier, so sometimes we call her Megan the Sommelier Pirate.
Yes. That is true.
And I have something that I just decide. With Megan, I always like to just kind of decide something right off the bat and then make her come up with it. And I would like
to look at my face.
Funny. Yes.
I think that's fun.
I think Megan just came up with a stage name for you.
What?
She can't say it on the air.
Wow, you are spicy today.
Mm, yeah, I ate a lot of Mexican food recently.
Did you? Okay, well, that would make sense. Sarah Marinas is here. Sarah is our homesteader, and she comes up with some pretty awesome ideas of how to homestead stuff. I don't even know like what kind of category homesteading is, Sarah, but I think that it just means like doing cool stuff with like basic bone stuff, right?
I think it's being resourceful and wanting to be able to do something on your own without having to rely on a third party.
Kind of off the grid kind of stuff.
Yeah, as a homesteader, she does it better. Does that rhyme?
Well,
yeah,
that does. I wouldn't go that far.
Hey, there's like bumper sticker. Homesteaders do it better.
Yeah.
After maybe 3 years of trying,
I think so.
Then you do.
Yeah, well, isn't
well, it's
that
a lot of trial and error.
Yeah, you just got to keep plugging away and then you can say that, but it's a lot of error.
But I have to say, I've known Sarah for a long time and she is the one person I know that has the best attitude about every single thing. So if there's anyone that can trial and error something for years, it is Sarah, because I guarantee you she faces all of this stuff with the best attitude.
Oh, I'm such a words of affirmation girl. So I'm like, thank you.
I'm not even joking about the fact that I don't think there's a person on earth who could dislike Sarah.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, you bring, listen, I will take them. I will take them on if they dislike
I'll
you.
I'll send them your way.
You are genuinely one of the most pleasant people to be around. Do you ever argue with your husband?
No, he won't engage.
Well, I mean, I think.
Oh, so you try to get him to argue and he won't argue back.
Actually, hey. Ellie got a firsthand seat to one of our biggest fights.
Oh, I sure did. Oh,
well, it wasn't even a fight. He just made me mad and I didn't realize I was on speakerphone.
We're going to be talking about something a little later in the show that I think a fight might be brewing between the two of them, actually. So this is like some hardcore gossipy drama.
Oh, yes. I can't wait to talk about this.
But don't get your popcorn out. It has Sarah to do. Tyler drama is very mild.
It has to do.
Oh, they're so wonderful.
It has to do with the Wild of the Week. And Sarah's is actually unbelievable. I can't believe it. Shelby Christensen is here and Ashlyn Whitting is here. What an exciting show this is going to be, because these two women are somewhat new to the outdoors, new to hunting. One of them, I'm not going to tell you which one yet, is not a vegan anymore. I think that is fascinating to me. I want to talk about that transition and what it means to harvest something in the outdoors and put it on your table and the responsibility and ethics of that. That's also extremely exciting to me. And the other one is an at-home, do-it-yourself, learn-from-scratch taxidermist.
How cool is that?
That's like so cool. I mean, it's I'll be honest, it's one step away from Jeffrey Dahmer a little bit, but
we're in Wisconsin.
I think it's a little bit further than a step.
Well, it's a couple steps away from Jeffrey Dahmer. Like,
careful, you might be her next mount. Taxidermy, that is.
Oh my God. Oh boy.
Oh, Chef Lawton.
Not horse.
Chef Lawton's
talking about equine stuff.
Cooking already.
Gosh. I have my alligator cowboy boots on. Everything is equine today.
Yeah, those are really cool.
I know they are.
Like, really, really cool.
Yeah.
Noah Morris from Morris Originals running the ship today. So good to have you here as well, Noah. I want to talk about Wilds of the Week, and then I want to get stuck on Sarah's because I can't. Megan, what did you do this week? You do anything fun in the outdoors?
Not in the outdoors, but I delivered 11 puppies.
Oh, Megan, that is so wonderful.
That's an awesome Wild of the Week.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
She had assistance from her lover's mom.
Your lover Dave's mom came in. Hey, I have a question. Does she know that we refer to Dave as Megan's lover, Dave?
I believe so, because that's how she found out we were dating, but it was by listening
to
the show.
Yeah, remember you blew the story?
Oh, that's right. She found out because we were saying Megan's lover, Dave, on the show. Well, it's fitting.
You had announced that Megan had taken a lover.
I think it's fitting. We do have bouts of like 1923 in this show.
I love
we?
It. Well, that's because it's your history.
Yeah. Ouch. Yeah. So hold on. I'm going to have to cover my carriage during the show. Might get rain.
No, it was fantastic. Cheryl stayed up till 3 a.m. with me delivering each one of those little puppies.
And they're awesome. So cute.
Well, duh, they're puppies.
Yeah,
they're cute. Are the names?
I don't know. There's 11 of them.
Okay.
Orange collar, red collar, purple collar.
All right.
They're too small to have collars still.
They're so lovely.
That's precious.
We're going to post a picture of them on Facebook.
Ooh, that's
on
a
the
great
Facebook
idea.
Page.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. Chef Lawton, what do you got?
Well, as Megan was bringing animal life into this world, I was taking it out with my truck on an interstate.
Oh, no.
I was...
Are you Danielle now?
Yeah,
I was just going to say that. That sounds like Danielle.
Well, it does. I was trying to spin this story so it would have a lovely ending, but it just doesn't. I cracked a turkey at about 55 miles an hour. And, well, the turkey technically hit me. And all I saw was a big puff a poof of feathers. And
wow, did it damage your truck?
No, you know what? Chevy Silverados are tough.
Dang.
I had was, I got
home. I thought
home.
That was Ford.
Whoa. Easy. Everybody settle down.
I drive a Cadillac truck, so I don't know, but it's old.
I got home. I was very nervous to see the front of my truck because it was a big turkey. And I got home and it was just decorated in lovely feathers and a few specks of blood.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah. Well, that's a good outcome.
Nobody got hurt except for that poor turkey.
They're tough. I mean,
he probably buffed out and walked away.
Honest to God, though, when a turkey hits your car, because I've had that happen before, it's like an 18-pound bowling ball hitting your car. I mean, those suckers are dense.
I mean, it was trucking along.
They're dense. Ashlyn or Shelby, did you do anything cool in the outdoors this week? Either one of you?
I did. I took my kids outside and played in the mud, and then
oh, wonderful!
Yeah, we planted our beautiful little garden.
How old are your kids?
I've got one that's 3. One is going to be 5 on Monday somehow, and I have a 9-year-old.
Wow!
Well, good
wonderful.
For you. That sounds fun. I love playing in the mud.
Yep, we loved it.
I love getting mud on my clothes, and when I'm hunting, I consider it a pride. I consider it successful if I end up with blood on my clothes too.
Oh, wow!
Now who's Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah. Oh, sorry,
that's
sorry,
one step
Sarah
away.
Marina. Hey,
I got your back.
Listen, yes, you have their back. I am very, very much outmanned today. We've got an entire panel of one, two, three, four, five women and me. And I do find that from time to time, as the ratio increases on me, that's the more I get made fun of. So I'm ready for it, Sarah Marinas. However, this one, I'm going to give you some baloney on. Tell me about what happened to you this week.
All right. So I volunteer at two of my kids' gala for like 4 years now and have never gone. This year I got to go and somebody gifted me with two golden tickets. And if
raffle tickets.
Yeah, raffle tickets. If you win, you get to pick, you get to skip any live auction item and you just get it. So I would have gotten
it
for free.
Major white elephant, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there was a trip to Hawaii worth $9,500. And that's what my husband really wanted, luxury vacation.
I bet he did.
And there were a lot of practical things for a family of six with four children.
Oh, gosh. I know where this
Sarah.
Is going.
Sarah.
So they call my name. I black out. I go full blown Price is Right. I'm screaming up and down. Going, that's me. That's me. I'm stomping. I saw videos. I thought I was way more classy and calm. And I look at Tyler and he's like, Tyler, can I do it? He shakes his head no. And I do it anyways.
What did you do?
I'll take those braces.
Oh, good Lord.
My.
Oh, Sarah, so you and Tyler are going to have a big fight,
have,
and can you do it on the air?
Oh, you've met Tyler. No.
He's so wonderful. Said,
why would it be nice?
Whoa, slow down. Just so the audience is clear on this, you won the top prize of the entire gala.
I could have picked anything.
Anything.
And you chose... Braces,
which are valued $6,000 to $8,000
a full scale luxury trip to the islands of Hawaii.
Yes,
I just want to add in that I saw Tyler before the show, and he said, "Ellie, I really wanted the trip to Hawaii," and I said, "Well, Tyler, everybody does except Sarah."
I cannot. What?
So enjoy,
you guys,
enjoy your tropical braces. Well, please tell.
Peter, my second, doesn't need braces. His perfect teeth. Oh. He had his consultation today.
So now what?
Then I ran and got Ethan, pulled him out of school.
You're like, I'm finding someone to tack these braces
on. Yeah, I said, try this one. I'm like, get in there. Let him take pictures of your teeth.
Oh,
it'll be great.
Oh, my goodness.
So now you're putting braces on a five-year-old.
He's seven.
Okay.
And there's a lot
of
crowding.
Do they even put braces on seven-year-olds?
No, but it does not.
Can you get a cash voucher or something?
Now it looks like he may possibly need braces within 5 years.
Yeah, Ethan will need them next year.
Oh,
so if it saves me $8,000 next year, I'm fine with that.
But just think, this year you could have been on the beaches of Hawaii.
Sarah, I'm going to remind you, you never look back on your deathbed and say, I'm glad I didn't do it.
Well, in this case, she will.
You guys, I am the luckiest person on planet Earth, because the last time I went to Hawaii, I did not pay for my stay either.
And the last trip to Hawaii, you were with me.
And it was amazing.
It was amazing. You could have relived that.
So if anybody has any connections in Hawaii that would like to gift me
Wait
and my family.
Wait,
we have a connection.
Now she wins braces and wants a free trip
to
Hawaii, too.
For my marriage.
For your marriage. All right. I just want to be clear. Sarah's marriage will evidently fail unless she gets a free trip to Hawaii.
So call in. Somebody has a connection somewhere cool, and I'm willing to go.
Message us on Facebook.
And I can't even tell you how exciting it is to hunt in Hawaii. That is one of the greatest places there is to hunt. Yeah. We have such an exciting show, plus a recipe of the week, a homesteader tip of the week, and an amazing turkey hunt with my goddaughter. You're listening to Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's that time of year!
Christmas?
Well, it's kind of like Christmas.
Thanksgiving.
It feels a little bit like Christmas when it's the eve of your turkey hunting week in Wisconsin.
That's exciting.
And turkey hunting going on throughout the Midwest. This is Raised in the Woods. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Ellie Lawton, the co-host of this show. We got a great group of contributors, including Sarah Marinas, and of course, our Megan, the sommelier pirate, our sommelier of the show. Oh, my idea, Megan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. I thought he forgot.
I want to put more booze in food while you're cooking it. Now, I don't drink, but the alcohol burns off.
Are you Danielle?
No. Now, Danielle likes to drink the booze and
before.
Then eat the food. She doesn't want the alcohol to burn off.
Well, that's great because the recipe that Ellie's going to do today has wine in it.
Okay, that was not decided on, but it is now.
Megan just pulled a Joel, I think.
Wow, thanks a lot. You're
welcome.
This is Raised in the Woods. It's your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great Midwest, from bringing food and forage to your kitchen table, how to enjoy the outdoors, and we try to explain it in a fairly simple, enjoyable, fun way. We sure laugh at ourselves, so come along with us and laugh with us. We've got a couple of guests today that I'm really excited to get to. But first, I want to talk about my wild of the week. I had one of the most awesome, memorable hunts that I've ever had. I got to take out my goddaughter on
her first hunt. And how old is Autumn?
Autumn is 7, almost 8 years old.
So wonderful.
So we practiced with her with a 20-gauge shotgun in a what's called a death grip mount, which means it takes the recoil out of the gun. We used a lighter load in the gun with a red dot sight, and we had a pillow on her shoulder when she shot.
Yeah, Autumn is tiny.
And you guys got to check out the Facebook page because I do have the video posted, and I think that I just about went through. I acted like I won the Price is Right when she shot. She aimed and shot and got her first turkey, and it is bigger than she is, and it was an absolutely fantastic time and so satisfying. I'm to the point where I think it's more fun to take someone hunting and get them a bird or get them an animal than it is to actually kill it myself.
What was Autumn's reaction throughout your hunt?
Oh, she was thrilled. Throughout the hunt, the hunt lasted about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we had a blanket on the ground of the blind so she could play games while she was waiting. But the Tom came in probably 40 minutes after sunlight. Took him about 10 minutes on the perimeter, and then he raced right into the decoys. And she was so excited. And when she finally shot and bagged the bird, she was all smiles. Check out the pictures on Facebook. Check out the video because it was really a fantastic experience. And I got to take my goddaughter, which made it really cool. And of course, now Woody, her dad, if you're a friend of the show, you've heard the name John Whitmore, a good hunting buddy of all of ours. I had to shorten the video because there was some very excited, colorful words that John Whitmore
out of John Whitmore's mouth. No,
yeah, it's hard to believe, but that was really quite a fantastic.
Tell
time.
Us about Autumn's about actually shooting the turkey, pulling the trigger, and that whole process because I know it took her a little bit.
It took her. She was a little apprehensive at first, and I think that when you have a new hunter, you let them decide, you know, if they're going to pull the trigger or not. Hunting, for me, the joy of being out there, the joy of fooling Mother Nature and having the birds come in, I think is very important. But I also think that there are people who are too young and there are people who are the same age and ready to hunt. Mm-hmm. Autumn had, you know, fired a gun several times before.
And she spent quite a bit of time in the field.
She spent
with goose hunting and turkey hunting with John. So she's definitely been around it.
That's a really good point. I think one of the best ways to introduce a new hunter to hunting is to bring them along.
Yeah, just let them see it unfold.
Let them see it. Let them experience how it happens. You know, they're going to get used to the noise of gunshots, which is when you first experience. I mean, it's a very loud noise. It's mm-hmm. a shocking noise. So if you start to understand and have the expectations of what a hunt really is and the sounds and the gravity of deciding to take the life of an animal, which is something that is very important, I think that really helps. And she had a fantastic time. I love the quick hunts with new new hunters, especially young hunters, because they're not going to lose interest. And she said right after it that she was ready to go again next year. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah, that was really fantastic. We have a couple guests today who are new-ish to hunting, and I'm pretty excited to have them here. Shelby Christensen and Ashlyn Whitting are here. And ladies, what was that first step for you as you started getting into hunting, not as kids, but as adults? Shelby, what was that like for you? You were telling me you were, you know, later to hunting, but now you're into it.
Yeah, I started hunting when I was 19, I believe. I never had any family or friends into it. This was all I made the decision that I wanted to try it. But for years before that, I had a lot of interest in just animals themselves and taxidermy, pelts. Although I never, again, had the hunting, family, fishing, trapping, but I did go to nature camps. We did go camping. We did go hiking. And I gained an appreciation from the outdoors that way. And I had a fascination with bones and fur and feathers.
Ooh,
so I
started
picking up roadkill. That was my first step of actually getting into hunting, was picking up stuff. And then I'd bury it in the yard and pick up the bones after. And that's where I again began to say, you know, maybe I can go beyond this. I can get these specimens myself. And I can also provide food for myself doing this as well.
That's so awesome. I have never heard that as an approach to getting into hunting before.
Yeah, we need to get into this.
That's a brand new
one.
We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk a little bit about your the other thing that you do that I'm already seeing jewelry in my mind, and that's how to use what you kill to the fullest extent, which is something very important to me. And I think part of the ethics of your hunt. Oh, man. We talk about some crazy stuff. That's why this is so cool. We got our homesteader stuff coming up, and of course our recipe from the award-winning chef Ellie Lawton. This is Raised in the Woods. Raised in the Woods is here. We're back and we are expanded and growing. We're now in 5 states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa. My name is Joel Clayfish. I get to co-captain this ship with the culinary master, Ellie Lawton. Appreciate having you along. Love your insight into the outdoors and into cooking, that's for sure.
Thanks, Joel. That's a really nice thing to say.
Well, clearly by the looks of it, I like to eat. So that anytime, and now I love wild game so much that I think when I buy meat from the store, it actually tastes different to me. It tastes odd.
You probably don't buy a whole lot of meat from the store.
I don't buy meat from the store, but even if I'm at a restaurant and I'm eating meat, now it seems to taste different.
Do you tell the waiter or waitress, hey, give me the gamiest chunk of meat got back there?
Go find
what's the oldest piece of meat you have in the kitchen?
No, but that's not a bad idea. I don't necessarily think wild game is gamey, though.
Give me the most grisly, gamiest piece of protein you have in the back. I'll take it.
Then they go behind the dumpster, like, I think we got a raccoon back there.
Well, then they call Shelby and see if she has any roadkill. Because we need to get back to Shelby.
Shelby was talking. Shelby Christensen is here. She's newish to hunting, and she's got some odd hobbies that I'm fascinated by. And she was telling us how she got interested in hunting by literally being interested in animals. And I know you said you have a background. You have a minor degree in entomology. My daughter loves entomology. She's studying museum studies and anthropology at Baylor now in the graduate program. So I'm fascinated by bugs. We've got bugs up in this, you know, in these rooms. And I think that there's kind of a close connection to taxidermy. But how on earth and why on earth did friends say, what an odd hobby? You like to pick apart animals and use them, which I think relates perfectly ethically to hunting.
Yeah, and it will surprise a lot of people, but especially the time when I was young, through middle school to high school, there was a very, very being a kind of strong word, but there was a significant internet community of, it used to be called vulture culture.
Okay.
So that was people. It was a lot of young women too. And it was on like different websites and blogs. You'd still find them on Instagram. Tumblr,
what is
things
vulture
like that.
Culture?
So it's more of the animal preservation. So it can include taxidermy. It can include like wet specimens, jarred specimens, bone cleaning. Okay. So it was this smaller little internet community of, again, mostly young women who were interested in this kind of stuff. So although I didn't have an inkling that I was going to hunt or trap at the time, I was interacting with people who bought from trappers, who bought from hunters. And what I had access to at the time was roadkill. So that's where I started with that.
Wow.
I did work with a few homesteaders, small farmers, and I did some butchering. So I've done rabbits and ducks and chickens, things like that. And that's where I kind of got into, this is where food comes from. This is important for me to recognize, to do, to know how to do.
And I mean, you have dabbled in everything from the beginning, the whole life cycle, all the way wrapped around to preservation.
Yeah.
Which is quite impressive and very interesting.
Yeah. And my parents, you know, owe them everything, supported this. They thought it was
weird.
Those
are wonderful
parents.
They
thought it was interesting. Yeah. No, it was of incredible help to me because, yes, it was a weird hobby. It was unusual. But my parents said, yeah, if that's something you're into. My mother took me to a little taxidermy learning course where it was held in a city warehouse, and there were a bunch of people who had rabbits that they were domestic rabbits, mm-hmm. sold as reptile food. But that was the first taxidermy I did, was this little off the wall taxidermy class.
Wow.
And from there, I would do stuff at home, either roadkill or like reptile feeders. Mm-hmm. So like the white rats and mice. So got some experience there.
That has to be kind of a overwhelming hobby to get into, because there's so many different techniques. There's so many different products I'm assuming you can use. I mean, how do you, as a young adult or middle school, high school age too, how do you even decide where to start that? You just kind of have to dive in, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much everything you can learn on the internet. Mm-hmm. There were some older taxidermy forums and stuff that I frequented. A lot of it was trial and error. It's not, the preservation part isn't terribly difficult. It's making it look decent. That's mm-hmm. the difficult part.
Sure.
So I started just like dry preserve with borax. You stuff a rat, you put some stuff on the skin. It looks kind of crinkly and terrible. And you kind of go from there. Nowadays, I do a lot of bones, more so than anything else, or full mounts. I still have a few, but they were more of smaller birds, small animals, squirrels, mm-hmm. things like that. I haven't gone to like a deer or anything larger. But I have enjoyed going through that process, and a lot of it's just trial and error.
Yeah.
Keep going. If I was going to seriously go into taxidermy, I'd get an apprenticeship. But it is something that the bar is actually pretty low of when you just want to start, just dip your feet into mm-hmm. preserving it.
And then talk to us about how you transitioned into actually hunting.
Yes. Yeah, so it was, would have been just before college, 2018. I said, all right, this is something I'm interested. I at least want to try it out. I took hunter safety. I used to live in Michigan, so I mm-hmm. took hunter safety in Michigan. I found a 30-year-old Marlin 60 at a gun show with an old scope on it.
Cool.
Probably overpaid for it.
That's so awesome.
Cool.
But that was also something that I had to learn myself. No
yeah.
family or friends who really had any significant firearm experience.
I'll bet you there ain't many 19-year-olds who've killed their first deer with a Marlin 60.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, those were squirrels, actually. So I haven't actually gotten a deer yet.
Okay.
That's one that's on the list.
And is anyone in your family now kind of interested in hunting, or are they still very supportive in your hunting endeavors? Or
very supportive, but no, still not really running in the family. It's just mm-hmm. me who's been doing it.
Have you introduced them to eating wild game yet, though?
Yes, my mom has put squirrel in with the chicken and let me use an Instant Pot to cook coyote, which did not turn out great.
Really?
Wow.
Well, I'm glad you tried it. I've eaten bobcat before, and it turned out pretty decent.
Bobcat, I've heard good things about.
No, so oh god, this is
Shelby.
So
what I love is that you just get into all of it and you just try all of it. And I wish more people would do that, especially when it comes to hunting and eating wild game and just experimenting with the many different things you can do with a harvest outside of just eating it. And it's just so cool. It's so cool to hear your story.
Yeah, and what people realize too, like a lot of my classes that I've taken are through the DNR. I took hunter and trapper safety in Michigan. I've taken trapper safety here and a whole bunch of learned hunts through the DNR. And here's a tip too for people. You don't need to be dragged by someone else to go to these classes, especially women. There's a lot of women who are coming in with their boyfriends or husbands, which is excellent.
And the classes are so wonderful. I mean, Megan and I have both mentored for some of these classes, at one of which that you took. And I think, right, Megan?
No, she was in the cooking class.
Oh, Ashlyn, the cooking class. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, to your point, Shelby, there's so many different resources and ways to get involved. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't get involved because they just don't have a family member or a friend that does it. But like you're saying, the DNR offers so many amazing resources, and all of these learned hunts, especially for women now, there's so many coming up all the time. Megan, your cooking classes. I mean, there's so many different things to get involved and just try it.
I'm going to ask some of the questions that may come up in the oddities category here. I mean, let's be honest. A lot of the things you're talking about, they're borderline kind of mainstream taboo, really. And so I want to know, was that part of it tough? Because there had to have at some point been some folks you met or told them about some of the stuff you did, you know, picking up roadkill and taxiderming it at home or drying the bones to use them for things. Some people are going to be kind of judgmental about that. Did you face a lot of that?
Not really. I think it would surprise a lot of people how mainstream in a lot of places it actually is. Oddity shows are huge. And there is a lot of people who even are more alternative that have these interests. They think it's cool. They think it's cool to hang a pelt on the wall. They think skulls are cool.
I couldn't agree more.
It is art. It is art, period.
Absolutely.
It's art.
The natural dimensions with the Fibonacci code and the bones and the hair structure and the skin of animals is so often overlooked during the harvest. So many people, you know, many, many people want the shoulder mount on the wall because that's cool, right? But they're forgetting about using the skin to make a knife sheath or a foot to make a knife. And you have taken that even further. And it's weird because in this country, we've got certain taboos. Like, it's taboo to eat carp, where in Europe, eating carp is a delicacy. It's one of the most served fish. Gefilte fish in the Jewish community is carp, and it's absolutely delicious. I think one of the fascinating things about you is that you never let any of the taboos or preconceptions, let's say, stop you from doing this really cool stuff. And now on the other end of it, you're completely experienced in it, and you have this really cool stuff. You got some trinkets in your pocket, too, that are just awesome. What is going on with that?
Tell us about those.
Yeah, so I brought a few things along. I brought a keychain that was made out of the foot of the skunk. So this is not actually that difficult to do.
A skunk foot keychain. Is that like a lucky skunk foot, like a lucky rabbit's foot?
Well, the skunk wasn't lucky, but maybe. You know, maybe it'll bring a little luck there. But drying feet. Feet is also a big byproduct of the trapping industry in itself, you could say. And that's something that you can use some alcohol, some borax, some salt, not too difficult to do. And it lets you put another thing together. It would be so cool. It is interesting to see, too, having those negative reactions. There are people who do have negative reactions.
Of course, with anything. Mm-hmm.
But it's not nearly as much as you would think.
Well, that's good. That's encouraging to me. I think what's frustrating to me is the people who are critical of hunting, fishing, and harvesting, and even foraging, some people are critical of. You know, they will be critical of that, but then they'll go to McDonald's and buy a burger with, you know, from a cow that was born in a cage, raised in a cage, and slaughtered in a cage. When you go to harvest your own animals, you are assuming the responsibility and the ethical importance of taking that life to feed your family, to nourish yourself. And every speck of it that you use beyond just the meat, I think, is an ethical decision and an advantage. Now, tell me about these little preserved things that
are copper-coated things.
Yeah, so these are copper electroformed vertebrae, and I have the beak of a duck as well. So copper electroforming.
They're so cool.
You're basically painting something with conductive paint, putting it in an acid bath, dissolving copper, which then sticks to the conductive paint. So it allows you to coat pretty much anything in a layer of copper. How thick that layer is, how shiny, whatever, that's all done by time and the different concentrations of chemicals that
you've
got.
You're basically a scientist.
I mean, yeah, you're basically a
rocket
scientist.
An artist.
Yes.
All at the same
and
time.
An yes. Artist. They are very artistic things. Sarah Moranis, our homesteader, she's got something to say about this.
Well, my mind is going wild.
About braces?
Stop. No, when you said you would bury the animals and then dig them up, we found two dead bunnies in our yard and we did a full-blown funeral for them and they sang a little song. So I'm like, oh, we should dig them up.
Dig them back up.
Yes.
And use them.
I got to figure out all of this stuff.
Do you know where they are?
Yeah. There's a cross.
They had a whole funeral.
Yeah. They had a funeral, Joel.
They were Christian rabbits?
Yes. Yeah. And we did sing a few worship songs. But that's
you know
a weekend of fun.
All dogs go to heaven. So maybe rabbits do too.
Of course they do.
Yeah. You mentioned the cross. That is where I started with roadkill too. When I brought him back, I would put little crosses made out of little vines and twigs
That's
on there.
That's wonderful.
And it was also that learning that respect. Even at that time, I had no part to play in the death of the animal. I got that respect early on to say that this was a little life and it's important to use
God
the best
bless you
of it.
For that. That is an awesome lesson. What a show. You think you've heard it all and you haven't. This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Here on Raised in the Woods, you never know what you're going to hear. My name is Joel Clayfish. This is Ellie Lawton, co-host of the show. Ellie, where can they check out Raised in the Woods if they don't catch it live at 11 on Saturdays on your Civic Media stations?
Well, if you're busy picking up roadkill on Saturday, you can always tune in to any of our shows on Spotify, Apple, or you can go to civicmedia.us and search for Raised in the Woods.
Yes, and if you're just joining us, we have one of the most fascinating topics and guests I think we've ever had on the show.
It's amazing.
Shelby Christensen, who started by collecting roadkill and now has turned that into she's become a hunter and harvester. And she
and cooks her wild game.
Eats her wild game. But she doesn't just go that far. She goes so far as to use the skin, the bones of these animals. She's
the
a vertebrae.
She has copper
taxidermist
covered stuff that I want.
We learned that she's using a form of electroplating to create this beautiful jewelry and trinkets, for lack of a better term, out of these animal bones and animal parts, and they're beautiful. Honest
yes,
to God,
they're absolutely
that duck
beautiful.
Bill is beautiful. Do you make jewelry with it?
Yeah, so those do have the little loops on them so they can be made into jewelry or they can be put on a keychain. And that's really what I aim to do with it. Copper electroform jewelry, you'll see a lot of it that people use crystals and shells, and there are some bones, and I think there should be more bones.
Yeah.
So I also
no
have,
bones about it.
There are some pieces, like I have some deer vertebrae, which are much bigger.
Of course.
But you can still wear it as a necklace. But it's something, it's wearable, it's interesting, it's something that'll start conversations.
Definitely a conversation starter. I mean, you're sitting in the studio, you can tell I like cool stuff that starts conversations. I don't know if there's anything as cool as the stuff that you've made, though. That's just, I mean, that's fascinating.
I'm like sitting here thinking of all the ways I can like wear the stuff you make, like the deer vertebrae, like on a like a scarf slide.
Oh yeah,
that'd be so cool.
That would be very cool. You could make bolos out of it. You could make I'm wearing the tooth of a bobcat I harvested.
I thought that was your tooth.
No, but
it's
I
not.
Guess that would. You know, oh. I had a wisdom tooth pulled. I could make that into jewelry, probably.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, this is This is absolutely fascinating.
I would put them in a garden. Like I would want them as the little pathway. Like, wouldn't that be so pretty?
That would be really cool.
And different vertebrae or different items could be like, okay, that's what I put for my tomatoes or your herbs. I think that would be so
Sarah,
cool
you might be onto
for the
something.
Green and copper.
So I think we could all agree that you could pretty much do anything with them.
Yeah, you could have little, small animal vertebrae be the buttons on a shirt.
We're going to have Noah grab some pictures so we can post them on our
yeah,
Facebook
we'll
page.
Post them
because
on Facebook.
They're just so unique. I when you pull them out of your pocket, before the show, I was like, what is that? We need to all have these things.
Yes, she makes
so cool.
This beautiful copper jewelry and ornamental pieces out of the animals she harvests. And that, like we've talked about so often on the show, use everything from your harvest that you can. You know, understand the gravity of taking the life of an animal and use it. Speaking of using weird things to make cool stuff, Sarah Marinas, our homesteader, is here, and she's got a homesteader tip of the week. What have you got, Sarah?
This one's controversial. I do get not even.
It.
If you've got a nice yard, it's controversial.
Okay, let's hear it.
We belong in the country. We have one of those yards. Just bikes everywhere, an RV, 15-passenger van. We don't have a classy yard. But we also have a lot of dandelions that I love.
Oh,
and
me too.
We use them. We pick them and we use them for everything. And in the spring, we make a lot of tea. So we'll do a dandelion root tea.
Mm-hmm.
Which dandelion is root
very,
tea.
Yeah. Very good for you.
It is. It's packed with a lot of vitamins, minerals. It's good for your digestion. And then we also have a mint plant. That thing, you cannot kill mint.
No.
That'll just
pretty
keep
hardy.
Growing. Yeah. So we've been making a lot of tea in
so
our house.
So how do you do that? Tell us how you do it.
Nothing fancy. I just send my kids out and say, collect the dandelions. And then we get a big pile, leave it outside for a day or two. Mm-hmm.
So wait a minute. Why are you leaving it outside?
To dry it.
Oh, you want it dried?
Yeah.
So it's
you
like
dry it
dried
just
tea
by
leaves.
Leaving it outside, like on a pan or something. You don't put it in a dehydrator or anything.
No. That would be smart if you have that kind of time.
So dandelion root. So you're not using the leaf or the flower, you're using the root of the dandelion. Mm-hmm. And then and mint, which grows, and mint grows quite a bit of it grows wild
in
Wisconsin. I come across mint quite a bit.
Yep.
And you're drying it, just drying it in your yard, and then
inside.
Or inside.
Yeah, nothing fancy. Then we just throw it in a big pot and boil it.
Are we cleaning them off first before we dry them?
You should.
Okay.
Yeah. I won't say if we do
off.
Or not.
Rinse them off.
We don't put Roundup in our yard or anything.
Yeah.
So just think, it's dirt.
Yeah. Last year on the show, we had dandelion salad
from
my yard.
It was delicious. Yeah. I absolutely loved it. And I never knew you could eat the flower of it. And we were eating the flowers in it. It had great vinaigrette on it. It was delightful.
Megan just made a reservation to come pick dandelions at my house.
Really? The slots filling up pretty quick?
Yes,
then
very
Megan
quick.
Had to get a reservation.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably have like 200 people leave with their full pocket.
I'll send the overflow to your house.
Yes.
Yeah. My dad will just shake his head like, get them out of there.
You know what I love? I love the fact that people curse dandelions so much, and I
love them.
They're
so wonderful.
They're great. They're
beautiful
flowers. They make great food, and now they make tea, and I've kind of gotten into tea a little bit.
You can make wine with it, too.
You can make wine.
And there's a saying about dandelions that they're either a weed or a flower. It's just about your perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at life. That's the cup is half full or half empty. And that's what this show is about, filling your cup with the great outdoors of the Midwest. My name's Joel Clayfish. Ellie Lawton is here, of course. Sarah Marinas, our homesteader. Ashlyn Whitting, who came with Shelby Christensen, who had the most fascinating story. So fascinating. I'm going to ask her if she can come back next week and be on the show too.
Perfect.
Because I want to hear more about her dead animal stories, which are like, you know, I thought we were going to go like in a dark direction with that, but that was absolutely fascinating. And of course, Megan Salazar, our sommelier. We'll see you next week on Raised in the Woods.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.